Was it really inappropriate, or was it just him being the petty little guy that he is? Funny how that comes up 2 days before the game. Let's do this. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
It's a Veritex Community Bank Road Show, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, and known Rush Hater. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort, back in studio, and Tyler Drew Scott keeping us on air out here at Sam Houston Race Park for opening night of the Thoroughbred Meet, which we will be talking about quite a bit here as we move forward. If you want to get in today, well, we don't take calls when we're on the road, so don't worry about that. But you can use that number to get on the text line, 713-780-3776.
That's encouraged.
Yeah. In fact, that and Twitter are your best bets, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed, at Tyler Drew Scott, at Degenerates 975. I think that's all of them. And it's a Friday. We're out here at the racetrack for opening night. And let's have some fun.
Not much. The floopsies are out. The flopsies.
Flopsies.
That's
yeah.
What I meant. The flopsies are out.
I like the large flopsies myself, but that's just me.
Yeah, you would like a big one.
So, a couple of things before we get started here. Last night I went and saw our boy Barry perform at Secret Group.
Okay.
And
are you allowed to talk about it, or is it?
No, I'll just.
It's a secret.
No, well, it's secret that I went there.
Oh, okay. You
know. But he was terrific, man. He
terrific?
Yeah,
we're going with?
Well, listen.
I've seen Barry. Barry's good. Terrific? Well, what is he, Dave Chappelle?
No, he's not Dave Chappelle, but in terms of his delivery and, you know, all of that, he's so much better than he was even a year ago.
I'll have to go watch him soon then. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, he was good before, but I mean his delivery, his inflections, everything. He looks like a pro. He stood out there. No offense to anybody else who was there.
Did you stay for anybody else?
I watched after Barry, I watched Dusty Rhodes, who's a really funny young lady, and I've seen her.
The American Dream, they call him.
Well, it's a her. It's a Dusty with an I.
What?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, but she's very funny. I've seen her.
He, the elbow drop guy?
It's not him. It's a different Dusty.
Is it his daughter?
No, I don't think so. But she's
Disappointing, Fred. That's disappointing.
Yeah, but she does a lot of stuff around town, too, so I'm a big fan of her. So I got to see those two, and that was all I really cared about.
Okay.
Had some really good beer.
Really good beer?
Yes, really good beer, which we'll be talking about in a little bit.
Okay.
But, yeah, and then went home and watched Jeopardy, and now I'm ready to rock and roll and talk a little sports.
It's Friday.
It is.
Yeah, man. It all comes down to today's our last day of talking about all these games. We got five big games. Well, four games this weekend. I guess we'll have Monday.
We'll have time Monday, hopefully.
But
unless somebody dies, it always happens.
Yeah, so we'll be heavy on the football today. We can maybe work in a little bit of basket hoops. It's going to be a football-heavy show today, I believe.
I think here. So.
And we'll talk some pony.
Yeah, we will, as a matter of fact.
You got a buddy coming on.
Right? I do, who is Chris Griffin, who is the track announcer here. But he's also got all kinds of other jobs here now. We'll talk to him about that. I always talk about the first day when I come out here. It's like coming home. This one's a little different, man. I'm so used to my friend Jerry Mantooth being here. It's like always the first face I see when I come in, and he passed away this winter, and just got a little bit bittersweet.
Jerry Mantooth is a saint.
He was a great dude, man. He was one of my favorite people on the planet, and just a shame to come here, and he's not here anymore. And I've still got a few friends here, which is great, but that sucked. And then some more suckage today.
One day we'll be talking about you like that, Fred.
You think?
Me and my new co-host will be sitting here, We'll say, you guys remember Fred? Damn, sure do miss him. He was a good one.
That was back when we had ratings. Man. But also a little dust in the wind for Neil Peart of Rush. I know you're not a Rush guy. But
I'm not. And I didn't realize that I was like I had a reputation as a known Rush non-believer.
Well, whatever you think of their music, that dude was the most amazing drummer I've ever heard. He is one of the few people that you would go to a concert to see his drum solo.
That's what everybody tells me about Rush. And everybody's like, they've got the best drummer. They've got the best guitar player.
Yeah, he's a very good guitar player. He's not the best.
And then I listen to the music, and I'm like, well, why does their music suck if they're so good as musicians? Why'd they only play crappy songs? I feel like if I were a great musician, I'd come up with some better songs.
I'll defend them a little bit. They were really good up until, like, Permanent Waves, when Permanent Waves came out.
The fact that you know, like, multiple albums.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Tyler knows what I'm talking about over here. And then they started getting into that New World Man crap with Moving Pictures and started becoming more of a prog rock band and less of a metal band. And so I don't really like much that came out after Permanent Waves.
Okay.
But
I don't either.
You know.
I don't like much that came out before Permanent Waves either. So it's...
Some of the really early stuff, like Working Man and all that, I enjoy some of their older stuff. So,
well, he's like
67 years old. He had brain cancer.
Is he? Well, he's in the conversation. I don't know if I mean I'm not a drum enthusiast, so I don't know if I could tell you who the best drummers of all time are. Most people I know. Most people I know who have even remotely decent musical taste put him on that list as one of the greatest drummers of all time. Where does he rank as most famous drummers of all time?
I don't think he's the most famous because I still think there's guys like John Bonham and not the same genre, but Buddy Rich. But I think just pure talent standpoint, I've never seen anyone better.
Okay.
And, you know, and
I think John Bonham, most famous drummers list, Bonham, Ringo Starr.
Ringo underrated as a singer, by the way. It's his songwriter. He actually had some pretty good songs that he didn't get enough credit for.
Well, that's because he was the fourth best songwriter in the group. Listen, he was there.
Playing on the 27 Yankees. You know.
Yeah. You know, it's okay to have the fourth best batting average on the 27 Yankees. What's the guy's name? Travis Barker is very famous, and then maybe Neil Peart is like he might round out the Mount Rushmore of famous drummers.
Yeah, well, I think maybe so because
is it Peart? Peart.
It's Peart.
I didn't know. I've always gone Peart.
Peart. Yeah,
but like you're making like a U sound. Peart.
No, I'm not.
Peart.
I'm saying Peart.
Peart.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I've said that five times now, and you're trying to turn it into something.
Peart or Peart?
There's no Peart. Where the hell are you coming up with
Peart? Peart. Peart. Peart.
Okay.
Peart or Peart?
There's no Peart.
Then it's Peart.
No. What do you
Sorry,
care?
I don't mean to disrespect.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah,
all right. Thoughts and prayers, Neil Peart.
Next time one of your guys dies, I'm going to mispronounce his name the entire time.
Okay.
Just because I can.
Okay.
So.
The thing is, Fred, my guys aren't dying yet because I'm not as old as you. The guys you grew up with, they're all dying.
Not true.
Kind of true.
I mean, there's a lot of your guys are dead too, Chris Cornell.
Yeah, but they die because they kill themselves.
Well.
And you're not saying anything bad about him anyway.
No, of course not. I loved him.
You mean Chris Cornell?
Oh, stop it. Communist. Brother Bear says Phil.
Oh, Tommy Lee. That's a good.
Yeah, as far as famous goes.
Yeah, he's in that convo.
But
oh, Phil Collins. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Neil Parart isn't as famous as I thought he was. Maybe I'm.
Although, I somebody sent me this once. They've sold more international records than almost anybody. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Really?
How many albums Rush has sold around the world? So they're a lot more popular than people realize. But I'm glad I got to see him one last time. It was about, I guess, 5 years ago when they came through. And he was He was fantastic. The rest, the album itself, that Clockwork Angels, was terrible, and they played too many songs off of that. But it was great to see him. And I mean, as musicians, the three of them together worked really, really well. So,
they, I don't know. You may got some bad info on Rush if Wikipedia is any source. Wikipedia has a list of everybody who's sold 75 million plus records, and Rush is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, I think it's based on top 10 albums, top 10 hits, stuff like that. So, but I'll have to find it. Somebody sent it to me. It was pretty surprising, to say the least.
Okay.
So, and a lot of people are mentioning Keith Moon. Keith Moon was
Keith
a good
Moon's
one.
Very famous too.
Yeah.
Boy, you know who would on you know who's in the top 10 for all time albums sold? 9 of the 10 don't surprise me. The one that does, Rihanna. Have you ever bought a Rihanna album?
No.
Me neither. That's wild. The top 10 is Beatles, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, no shockers, Elton John, Madonna, Led Zeppelin, no shockers, Rihanna, Pink Floyd, Eminem, and Taylor Swift. That's your top 10. That Rihanna, does that not surprise you?
Yeah, I don't know, man, because...
I guess she hadn't even been active that long.
Yeah.
First album came out in 2005. I think there's something fishy going on there. Who's buying Rihanna albums? I feel like Rihanna always guests on other people's songs. Maybe they count that as her sales.
Interesting.
Well, I don't know.
All right. Quick break. Don't go anywhere.
Hot chick, though.
It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hoffman continuing his disrespect.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the one thing that I'll say about Rush is when... I was in a band, one of the bands I was in high school, when I finally realized I was a pretty good guitarist is when the first time I played the solo from Free Will, note for note. And everybody was just kind of staring like, holy bleep, did you just nail that? I'm like, yeah, I did. So I can play a little. But, yeah, I musically, I lost interest in them in latter years just because I think their songs kind of went to hell, but... From a talent standpoint, I mean, that dude was as good as I've ever heard. And I'm not big on drum solos because I'm not a drummer. It's one of the things, I can't play drums. I don't know why. Like, I can play guitar, I can play bass, I can even play a little keyboard.
You play some fiddle?
I've never actually tried, but...
If you're going to play in Texas...
Yeah, see...
Gotta have a fiddle in the band.
You know, it's funny, I was listening to Barry and Joel talk about all the rodeo acts.
Uh-huh.
And... Yeah, I don't know if Willie's going to be healthy enough to play, but I
dare you.
I damn sure want to go if he does. But what I found about, like, I don't have any country music on my, you know, on my iTunes or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
But I when I go see a country act live, I really enjoy it. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I do too. I don't ever feel like it's good music to sit around and drink beer to, certainly.
Yeah.
But it's not Rush Hour music.
No.
It's not workout music. Yeah, so right. Like if you've got a playlist on your phone, country music doesn't always make the most sense. Country music is good for drinking beer and sometimes road tripping. And also the actual amount of country music I'll even tolerate is pretty limited. So... I don't know. I enjoy watching some live country music, though.
Yeah, it's something about it live, man. It sounds better. It's fun. It's more. I think it's louder, which I like. You know, but it's weird. I don't have any. Like, people tell me about, oh, this guy's great, and I probably heard his song, but I can't tell you who sings it. So, I'm in Vegas, guys. Can I get a hockey and a college hoop pick? LOL. I don't have any hockey for you tonight. Sorry.
Yeah, so you're leaving it at my feet.
I might have one for tomorrow, but I'll have to get to it later in the show. But man, I got an email from a guy last night. Clearly, he'd been drinking a little, bitching that all my hockey plays are sweats.
Well,
it's hockey. It's like soccer.
That's what you get for giving your email address to dummies.
Well, I don't know how he got
it. Hey, man.
You say it on the air sometimes.
Well, yeah, but that has to do with like sports map and stuff like that. And sometimes people reach out with really good ideas, which I like. But it's just, it'd be nice if we didn't have to sweat. You're going to have to sweat almost every one of them because it's hockey. It's just like soccer. If you're going to play soccer, you're going to have to – you're going to sweat games.
It's like sitting at the blackjack table and just saying like, oh, it pisses me off. I keep winning with like, you know, 17 and 16. It'd be real nice if you'd deal me 20. Well, I mean, when you win, you win. You just put it in your pocket, and you don't complain.
Yeah. And,
dummy.
You know, the reality is, like, I can have all the numbers that back things up, and somebody hits a post three times, and you wind up short. Or I can be playing an under.
And did you hit that one yesterday?
Yeah. I hit it.
Was it a sweat?
Not a huge sweat. They were there in the third period.
Oh, please.
But it was only seven goals.
And the over was what?
6.5.
Well,
I'm not good at math, but is that not a winner?
There's a reason why Vegas didn't set the number at 4.5.
Yeah, I don't know what people want, man. It's up 41-7-3 now for the season, and I'm getting bitched at because it's a sweat. And I know I'm going to get a bunch of crap for the horse picks now, too, because that's just how it goes.
I'll go with over 136 in Ball State at Akron.
Okay.
You're welcome, Vegas guy.
Yeah, there's just not enough. There's nothing for me to play tonight in hockey. Sorry. I'll probably throw a Saturday game out before the end of the show.
I think I lost 3 basketball games last night by 1 point or less.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not fun.
That sucks.
Not fun.
Can't you ever pick anything where it's not a sweat?
No. Those guys in Vegas are pretty good at things, man. They're pretty good, too.
Yeah. I will guarantee you this. Sometime in the next couple of weeks, we'll start seeing some 7 totals on hockey because they still haven't adjusted to the fact that scoring's way up. And, you know, it's going to happen, and tap is going to run dry at that point because there's not very many games in the world you're going to get me to bet an over 7 on. So, anyway, 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. You want to save the football for 5 o'clock or you want to get into it now?
Yeah, whichever you prefer. I'm fine talking football all day, basically. Hmm. I was curious, which was one of the totals that moved a lot today. I guess now is when normally all the games are on Sunday, so I don't know how it works, but normally on Friday is when they up the limits
right
at the books, and apparently the limits were upped, and
where the money starts coming
in. Yeah, we've seen some movement, and now it's basically the Ravens-Titans is almost 10s across the board now. It's a consensus 10. Hawks have been – or the Packers have been bet up, so they're now minus 4.5 in most places. That's up from what it was yesterday. Was it the – I don't remember which total it was that I saw that was moving. But you're going to start to see these things move now because now – people can come in and bet larger amounts of dollars than they could before this morning.
Yeah, because there really hasn't been a whole lot of movement this week on anything. And I think it'll be interesting on the championship game Monday night when those start to move. I think people are going to get past the NFL first, and then they'll start hitting that. And
from what I understand, it's going to be a massive pros versus Joes situation. And from what I've gathered, most of the people like me who keep power ratings and things like that are having a really difficult time getting to this number with LSU. Even if you make massive adjustments for last week, like if you knock Clemson down and bump LSU up.
Yeah, but see, I'm not going to do that.
It's still really, really difficult to justify the number that we're seeing. So 100% you're seeing an inflated number on Clemson. Now, so you're going to see pro money on Clemson. But I think this LSU team is going to be so heavily bet by the public that it may kind of even it out.
Yeah.
I mean, it may not be a big swing one way or the other. So I'm interested to see what it does. I keep saying I can't imagine it'll get to 7, but I can much more easily picture it getting to 7 than I can to a 3. So yeah, it's already 6. Most of the shops on the strip are now at 6. So my guess is you're either going to get 6 or you're going to get, I mean, if you're patient, you might get 7. I think that's the move. That's my preach, because again, I don't think it gets much worse than 5.5.
And I do think that the public money in games like this winds up being a lot more, because people who
Than a regular season game? Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, so I think that will impact it. And I'm kind of with you. If I can get 7, I'm going to wait around. But if I can get 7, I'm all over Clemson. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have Chris Griffin here talk a little pony with us. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Wait while nobody came. I know the path ahead's uneven,
but while I'm breathing, I have to make my own lane. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here from Sam Houston Race Park, and joining us now is the track announcer, and now you're like a bunch of stuff, right? Marketing guru, all around badass, Chris Griffin.
I appreciate it.
And you're here full time now, right? I mean, this is your job.
Yeah,
you're not going to be running back to California. Honest?
I moved. Yeah, we were talking to California, and I broke the news to them last October and got the offer, and things kind of move quickly with all the new changes that are going on in Texas, and once that happened, it really just got the ball rolling for me. And so taking on a few other roles, so a little bit more stressful before the races. But once we get through, I think, opening weekend, these first few weeks, we'll get all the checklists done and we'll be good to go.
And I've been talking about this all week. The state finally is putting some money into the purse money, which is what goes to the owners when they win. So you get better horses. And look at these first three cards. I mean, it's pretty damn good.
Yeah, from a comparison, you know, talking opening night last season, 8 races, 67 horses. Tonight, 10 races, 108 horses.
Yeah.
Before scratches. And you know, when you're talking about a 10.8 average horse count per race, when you have 40 more betting interests, just a lot of things turn into what hopefully is a really successful season here in 2020. And because Texas came up with a unique way to get that bill passed and use that money and put it back into horse racing, because from a gaming standpoint, when you're surrounded by some states that have opportunities, when they're connected with casinos and all that to supplement their purses, this bill being passed allows us to really be competitive, and you've seen it in the entry box, because now you've got, we're talking 10, 14 horse fields, things like that. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and as somebody who likes to bet, that's what I want. I want big fields. I don't want to see 5 and 6 horses, because it's hard to find value. And I think anybody who likes to play the races wants to see as big a field as possible.
And for 25 years now, celebrating the 25-year anniversary last season and going to year 26, the promotions and getting people to come out and getting people to enjoy the facilities and join us here at Houston has been a big part of it. And now we've got a really, really great racing product that we're proud of to kick off the opening weekend. And as we say there, and as I've said, from a marketing standpoint, we're responsible now that we've got a show that we can put this on and really handle this and get it to where the product is must see. And we've had a really great response on social media, and you guys have been a part of that as well in spreading the word, and people are starting to talk about us now, and that's an exciting time for everyone to be in. That when they say all eyes are looking at Sam Houston on a Friday night, that's pretty cool. So now we just got to deliver.
Yeah, and I think you will, because we got quality racing. And when I was out at Santa Anita back in, I guess we went out for a fight, and I think it was November, and was talking to them, and they'd been reading up on the purse boosts and everything else, and it was fun to hear people at other tracks talking about Sam Houston again, and not just, because, I mean, a lot of years, it's like they don't bet it. There's even a couple of casinos in Vegas that weren't taking the races.
Right.
It drove me nuts.
Right.
Because I'd go out there and sit down. So I think AJ remembers this. There was a quarter horse race where It was an 870 that I had a horse I absolutely loved. It's like everything that I possibly want scenario-wise. Go up there, I had to go to three casinos and couldn't find it. And it's like, come on, man.
Fumbling through the remote trying to get it. Yeah.
And, of course, the horse airmailed at 5-1.
And but. You talk about West Coast. It's kind of interesting. You know, you see some of these horses. I know you took Excavation, I think, on one of your tip sheets. But you're seeing these horses that have the West Coast running lines. And you're starting to see that more and more, that you're starting to see these horses come from different parts of the country and now they end up here. And that's, again, exciting to see. The Texas Bred program should be really strong as well. The TTA had a big part in everything that was involved with getting House Bill 2463. Three passed, and everybody's working hard, and we're looking forward to it. And got a little bit of wet weather probably in the area tonight, and we'll get through it, and we'll see what happens tonight. And opening weekend should be really good.
I think our weather guy says that the main stuff is going to blow through after the races,
yeah.
Which would be good.
You know, we're racing rain or shine, and obviously as the evening progresses, we'll take a look at things as they progress.
Yeah, and really, people ask me this all the time. The only time you guys won't race is if it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And that maybe happens once a meet.
When it's dangerous for the jockeys, the horses, the guests that are joining us, then obviously management will take a look at those situations. So right now we're ready to go. We're fast and firm as it is right now. But, again, we're getting some wet weather. And we've got only one turf race on the schedule tonight, so we'll just take a look at it when scratches and changes come out, and we'll alter the schedule if we need to.
All right, let's talk about January 26th, because
yep.
My goal as a human being is to live long enough to be out here for that. Yeah, you guys, it's the Racing Festival, which is fantastic, some huge races. But what I'm particularly interested in, I think a lot of our listeners are, is the handicapping contest to qualify for the NTRA in Vegas, which, gosh, I haven't played in that thing in probably 12 years.
Yeah, and that's been basically the consensus that a lot of people have said, we haven't done this for about a decade, and now it's back. Because of this added money, obviously, it makes these types of opportunities present themselves. Most racetracks are hosting a tournament like this, the NHC, the NTRA. It's a national tournament, very similar to what poker does, but it's where all the big horse players want to be for some big money. And I think you would be able to punch your ticket. I think you're quite good in the handicapping aspect. And obviously, you play with a live bankroll that day. There's certain formats to the tournament. You can go to our website, and we've been talking about it a lot. Mike Steinler, who retired last year, has been a big part of organizing the tournament, and he's kind of taken that on.
Yeah, how retired is Mike, really?
Because I think he misses it a lot, man. I tell you what, I think he misses it. He might shed a tear maybe tonight as he watches our product. But he's been vital to us being able to communicate with the folks that are going to get involved. And it caps at 125 entries. I think we could get close to that number. We'll just kind of see how entries come in. Our pre-entry kind of process as far as getting people in through the feeders, through some of the websites that can feed in, that's been really successful. And those campaigns have been really strong, and people are getting those entries. And you know, with no entry fee and playing with that live bankroll, you get to keep whatever you win that day. So you want to be the top in the standings,
right?
But you could also get a nice score that day with all the great racing that we're going to be bringing you, with the new stakes race for three-year-olds on the grass. It's an exciting time, and Houston Racing Festival, along with that and a tournament, should be exciting.
Yeah, that's what I've been telling people is it's a real bankroll for $1,000. So even if you don't win, if you're just on your game a little bit, you're going to walk out with a profit.
Yeah.
And that's the best kind of tournament.
And you do have to play the bankroll through the day. And so you have the opportunity. It's up to you as a handicapper and a bettor to see where you go and end up that day. And we'll have some standings updated. And it'll be really exciting. I mean, it's just a really exciting feature to add and to get some real players in here that mean business and they want to
I'm sure we're going to get a bunch of people from out of state here, because I've had some people tell me. And I tell them, guys, there's some players here. Trey Stiles is a Hall of Famer, and Nick, who does a morning line out here, is terrific. We got some pretty good tournament players here.
Yeah, and they
know, be easy for
they
them.
Know a lot of good players as well. So I've seen some of the guys that are intending on coming. It's a who's who in racing, and especially in tournament players. Who doesn't want to be in Houston, Texas on a beautiful Sunday afternoon, January 26th? And I'm sure you'll be here. And I can't play. I can call the races. I can watch you guys enjoy and revel in all your winnings. But I'll be excited for whoever gets to qualify. And another great thing is you can win an entry for 2020 or 2021. So
yeah, because that tournament's coming up, right?
Yeah. So you've got an opportunity now to not only qualify for 2020 or you could choose 2021, which is just a nice extra thing that we've added, and we keep adding these extra things. And I know it's 2020, and I know you're looking around, but we are in HD now, if people were wondering. We got a whole new graphic package here at Sam Houston Race Park. It's going to be just one thing after the other. This money has really helped boost purses and our overall product, and now, like I said, we got to deliver at 6:45.
And besides the contest that day, that Ladies Classic has become a race that has springboarded a lot of big-time seasons. Last year with the
Midnight Bisou,
yeah. And going back the year before that, too. I mean, you get some of the best fillies and mares in here for an early season race like that. And, you know, you're not going to see Kentucky Derby-type horses, but you're seeing the equivalent, if not more, for fillies and mares.
Midnight Bisou is going to be the champion older mare, I would imagine, this year. She should get the Eclipse Award here for that. She started her campaign in Texas. Steve Asmussen that day said, you know, she should represent Texas very well, and she did just that as she went on just a parade of wins throughout her 2019 campaign. And we're looking at some of the nominations, some of the horses that have been rumored to point to the race, and they are names that you've heard, you know, when Street Band is possibly coming, and the Lady Apple, and some of these other horses that have run of those grade 3, grade 2 type races. It's a graded stakes race. It's a great starting point for their season. Great surfaces here. So we're excited about that. And then, you know, when you talk about a brand new race, too, in the Texas Turf Mile, it's a 3-year-old race restricted to 3-year-olds on the grass. It's the first turf race at a mile for 3-year-olds in the calendar year for horse racing. I mean, we're the first one. So that's an exciting new feature as well, that we can add that, bring that. And we've got really good turf racing. Hopefully we have some really nice weather that day, and we'll be rolling.
Yeah, and if you haven't been out here, guys, Chris does a terrific job as a track announcer. I've long said that since you've been here. I'm glad you're here full time now, and we're not splitting it up.
Yeah,
but you know, keep up the great work. I want to ask you one question, sort of unrelated, because AJ brought this up the other day, and I think there's some kind of legal reason for it, but you would know better than me.
Sure, okay.
Is there? You know, his question was, why hasn't someone thought about, since poker rooms are essentially illegal now, putting one down in the pavilion? And because that's like one of my favorite things to do in Tampa Bay Downs, is go sit there and play in a poker tournament and have them come up and take my bets on the races at the same time.
Sure.
So is there some legal reason why you couldn't do that?
Why poker would come into play?
Yeah, why you couldn't have it?
Ooh, this is above my pay grade, that question. I will just say that the management and everyone here that is working with the racing and the facility, they're looking at all gaming options, from what I've been told. It may not be something that you see currently, but it may be something that has been discussed and could be coming at a later date. But again, those decisions are way over my head, and I would not. My bosses would be happy to come out here, because we know that people that want to come and want to gamble and want to participate, there's different methods of gambling and gaming and what you want to get involved with. So as long as it's done right and it's legal and we can do all those things, as I say, the higher-ups can answer those questions. But it would be fun. I think it would be enjoyable to see. Who doesn't like action, you know? Everyone likes action.
And just, you know, I'll just throw this out there because I'm selfish. But if it could be done, I would practically live here. I might even get – I'd probably get an apartment up here and just tell my wife, hey, I'm staying up here all week.
Right.
So, you know, go visit her on the weekends or something.
Let me write this down with one of these Sam Houston pens. Fred would live here if poker was here full time.
Which, it wouldn't be the first time. I mean, yeah. It cost me at least 1.5 marriages coming out here all the time. But, you know.
To the point I'd also have made is that Sam Houston is still relatively young as far as a facility. When you're talking 25 years, and the, you know, when we talk about Saratogas and Santa Anita's and all these other racetracks, they've been around for a really long time. So we're still new. We're still, you know, kind of figuring out what our lane is. And once we get these things right, and let's get this horse racing season right, then we can really have even more fun, more major league fun, as we would say.
All right. Chris Griffin's been our guest. He's the track announcer out here. What's your official title now, so that I don't just say also marketing guru and all this?
I like marketing guru. I don't know if it's true. I need to turn some numbers before I become a guru. But marketing manager and track announcer is the best way to put it. And we're going out and connecting with the community more. A lot more social media activity. The way that we talk to people is through their phones, and it's through the way that we type things in. So I know you guys know about that. I saw some interactions over the football weekends of people enjoying your show, and that's how they talk to us. So, you know, some of it's going to be positive, some of it's going to be what we can work on, and we'll do all those things, but that's how we become a real big product. So,
And I I'm excited for the meet, and we'll talk again, I'm sure. But keep up the great work. And
appreciate you guys.
Anything I can do to help you, you know that.
Thank you for the coverage. Appreciate you guys, and let's have some fun. Be safe out there, and let's go.
All righty. So let's take a break. Am I not hearing music? Yeah, okay, thank you. I don't know why it is in these. I can never hear the music. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. We'll start getting into the NFL a little bit. And I'll have a couple plays for the people that are coming out here. I'll throw out there that are on the tip sheet. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, live here at Sam Houston Race Park. And
I just met a guy who's going to lose a bunch of money on the Texans this weekend.
Yeah, you're making friends and influencing people out here.
Chiefs defense sucks, man.
Well, does it?
Yeah, Fred.
Because I'm just kind of curious, because we went over this earlier in the week, and ever since that Titans game, this has been a defense that's allowing under 20 points a game.
Well, and he said, look at the Titans game. Look what happened to him there.
Okay.
I said, yeah, that happened.
Look what happened to the Texans against the Broncos. Are we going to count that one?
That.
I think
you suck too! You suck too!
Oh, man.
What a comeback.
Yeah, what the hell is what the hell's up with your boy?
Yeah, I don't know. He's using inappropriate language, apparently. I don't get it. I mean, things are going well for him.
Yeah, I'm not going to dog the guy too much. Because
since when, can you imagine Bill Belichick ever coming into a press conference and apologizing for cussing at some stupid fan?
No. No.
What's O'Brien doing breaking character here?
Yeah, because that's definitely not a Bill Belichick thing. So.
No. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's not an O'Brien thing. We've never heard him be contrite about something like that.
Well, it was pretty half-assed contrite, though.
Yeah, but still, even say sorry? Yeah. You know he's not sorry.
No, but why should he be? I mean, I people don't get to say whatever the hell they want to you, no matter what you do.
I mean,
but if
somebody yells, "You suck," I mean, you like to think you'll take it better than that, right?
Yeah, although when you're getting your ass kicked like that, you know you suck. It's like during the Bills game, he wouldn't even talk to the TV reporter. He was so pissed.
Yeah.
That was probably the best thing to do. So, somebody says, I don't see how saying a game is a sweat is an insult. I'm not trying to be offensive. Look, if you...
It's obnoxious for a guy like Fred who's giving out free winners.
Yeah.
And people complaining.
And you're complaining about the free winner.
It
was
close.
It's a close
game.
Like, yeah. It's extremely annoying. And
just tell people to suck it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm probably going to figure out something else. With the plays, I may start putting them on SportsMap or something. I haven't decided yet. But I am getting really frustrated with the, oh, well, that was close. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if I pick a horse that wins by a nose, guess what? I'm going to cash the ticket just the same. So, you know, not everything is at the... Lamont says the funniest thing about the O'Brien fan exchange is O'Brien acknowledging that they suck.
That's true. When you say you suck too, that means, yeah, I'm not arguing that I suck, but you also suck, sir. Instead of saying, nuh-uh, you suck, which would have been a more appropriate response, it seems to me, unless Bill O'Brien does actually believe that the Texans suck.
Well, I think he was saying...
Or that just Bill O'Brien sucks.
Well, and I think... If I were him, I would probably...
Because we don't know what that fan said, Fred. Did the fan say, O'Brien, your team sucks? Or did they say, O'Brien, you suck?
Yeah, I couldn't really hear it. I think I'm going to go with O'Brien, you suck.
Okay. You suck too! I mean, that's acknowledging that, yeah, I suck, but you also suck, sir.
He says you suck.
Okay, but he does. He also says you suck too.
Yeah, but the fan told him you suck. Like, oh,
that's all he said.
Right,
you
at
suck?
O'Brien's face.
Okay.
I mean, granted, he's 15 rows.
I mean,
up,
yeah, he's a good ways away from him.
Yeah,
He had to be close enough for that mic to pick it up, because when I max it out, it's still fairly clear to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't hear it in the open because it's hard to hear anything when we're out here. So I don't know, but I just kind of – I'm not even sure it's that bad of a look. I mean, we know he's a hothead. He's always been a hothead.
Yeah.
And a bully and a really small man, and that's what really small people do.
Yeah.
So not surprised at all. 713-780-ESPN is your number. If you want to text the show, I'd be happy to read those. You can tweet us. You can all kinds of ways to get in touch with us. When we come back at 5 o'clock, we will go through all the NFL games one more time for those of you who have missed it. And I think I've settled in on two plays for the weekend.
What's that, Freddie?
Well, we'll save it for 5 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
That's sort of a tease.
That is a good tease.
And a couple people ask, are you going to give people tips on how to play the tournament?
What's he, a school teacher? He's trying to win.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you some general tips. I might write something, but for the most part, I'm in it to win it, man.
Yeah, he
didn't in it to win it like Iserman.
Yeah, he didn't want to teach you
how
to win.
I'm going to drink about 15 Heinekens. So, no, I mean, I'm happy for people to come out and play, and I wish them all the best. But, yeah, I'm trying to win. I'm not – there's no, you know, no BS about that. But that's there's some really good players here who know what they're doing. And I'm looking forward to it. There's some big dogs coming from out of town that I've played against before. And it is cool. It's a lot like playing a poker tournament.
Yeah.
And in this case, there's going to be a lot of Daniel Negreanu and Phil Hellmuth types here. So you'll be playing against some of the best.
Where are you expecting to fall?
I feel like, well, from a tournament perspective, I'm not as
this isn't your specialty.
It used to be. It was 12 years ago, just like when I was playing tournament poker. I was really good 12 years ago, but I've been, you know, I went through being broke and everything else and not being able to play. At the risk of sounding arrogant, I think from just a pure horse racing perspective, I'm one of the best in the country at handicapping, and I can win, but, you know, I haven't played one like this in a while, so it'll be fun to get back into it. And if I do qualify, I'll be out in Vegas.
And when's the last time you played one of these tournaments while having hair?
You know, I had hair 12 years ago.
Yeah, it's gonna make it different.
I hope so. It's growing.
I was really hoping that it would grow in like a different color.
It'll be a different color at some point.
Good.
Yeah, I'm waiting until I'm actually going to see Dr. Linville next week.
And then you're gonna dye it jet black.
I'm thinking about it.
Oh yeah.
I'm thinking about it.
Oh yeah. It's one of my favorite shows ever.
I mean, I kind of want to go like full Roy Orbison or Joey Ramone.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
just jet black and as long as I can get it. But yeah, we'll see. I'm. It's kind of fun to be able to play around with it.
Yeah.
So I'll come up with something different that you can. Yeah. The whole point of it is so you can make fun of me, right?
Yeah. That's. So. I mean, that's why everybody gets hair.
Yeah.
Maybe have a pompadour.
Maybe I'm thinking maybe a mullet.
Oh,
I might go full on mullet.
A big black mullet. God, that'd be so great, Fred. That would be great. I dare you.
I'm thinking about it.
Okay,
we'll see. Believe me, whatever I do,
believe me, it's going to be the best.
It will be for your entertainment,
and it'll be the best.
It'll be tremendous.
It'll be amazing.
It'll be the best hair ever. All right. I do hear music.
You know you're not even allowed to have this haircut in North Korea? Did you know it's against the law? Not
ooh,
here.
Ooh,
not
I want to get the Kim haircut.
Not,
that's
oh,
what I want.
Please do that.
How badass would that be?
Yes! Or the Trump haircut.
No, because he's the best. He's tremendous. That's all on him. And I don't want to step on his toes because he's the president. All right. Let's just take a break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.